the dominant impact that the CFO Act had in the early years of its implementation was putting in a discipline framework with a senior accountable official being the CFO and establishing a very robust reporting framework that has brought on tremendous amount of discipline in how federal funds are tracked today as opposed to before the CFO Act was in place.
One of the things I've heard about the CFO Act, this has worked. This has been successful. But, and of course there's always the but because nothing's ever perfect, there's been some areas where things could get better. Where do you see some areas where maybe the act, the spirit, the intent of the act maybe has fallen short?
The CFO Act started with the notion of building a foundation of internal controls, of reporting, of discipline processes that didn't exist across government prior to the CFO Act. And it took years, but that foundation has now been built. And in many ways, it's doing its job in a way that was not being done, for example, in the 1980s. But as we have that foundation now built, the question is, what are we going to build on that foundation? And what direction are we going to go to improve the bottom line for the taxpayer? Because, you know, I think in financial management across many sectors, public and private, the bottom line is the key operating principle by which we work. Well, in the government, the bottom line is somewhat complicated. It is a combination of being an effective steward of taxpayer dollars. It's a combination of making sure that programs are working effectively. It's making sure that we're cutting costs. To answer those questions, to be an effective steward, to make sure programs are working effectively, to make sure that we're achieving the appropriate amount of savings and eliminating waste, it takes more than just a traditional financial statement, the production of that statement, to do so. We have to be branching out into more areas of discipline that get at that citizens' bottom line and get more at the area of financial performance. And what happens is that CFOs are branching out today in many, many different ways. The issue is whether the framework that which they operate under, how they're audited, how they're capturing that information and reporting it publicly, is that following suit and being aligned with CFOs' emerging responsibilities around these bottom line issues of citizens' trust in government, of program performance, financial performance, fraud, error, and waste. And I think there's an opportunity to evolve our financial management model and compliance framework in a way that we're moving beyond just the basics of financial statements and moving directly into a space where the CFO sees across government significant discipline and consistency on how we're tackling some of the other elements of the bottom line of government.
Let me back up. You said CFOs are branching out in different ways. Can you go into that a little bit more? What do you mean by branching out?
I joined OMB in 1997, but I really got into financial management about a decade ago in 2003. And at that time, the major focus for the CFO community and the audit community for that matter, was around internal controls. If you remember back then, we were coming out of Enron and WorldCom, Sarbanes-Oxley had just been passed, and the major emphasis was around making sure that our financial reporting, our balance sheets, our income statements, et cetera, were reliable and were not being manipulated in any way, as we saw what was going on in corporate America and what Sarbanes-Oxley set to root out and mitigate the risks of any mismanagement of our financial reporting. So we were focused on that, as we should have been at the time, because there was a crisis going on in accounting and financial management, and we were addressing it. But since that time, once we essentially put in place a significantly more robust framework for internal controls, which, by the way, is captured in OMB Circular A-123, that was the vehicle that was essentially the Sarbanes-Oxley for government, we now find ourselves with different challenges than we did back then. The challenges today, for example, and it almost goes without saying, is that we face very acute and challenging budgetary pressures. And we have this tension where government agencies should and want to modernize. They want to improve their operational efficiency. They want to deliver better services for the taxpayer. They want to improve on almost every metric. Yet they need to do that in a period where there isn't as much funds as there once were to invest in capital improvements or infrastructure improvements. And so it requires us to balance that tension, to be innovative, to look differently at the way in which we do our operations, to look differently at the way technology can help meet our mission, to be collaborative across different sectors within the government, across the what's sometimes referred to as the C-suite or the CXO, to work with their CIOs and chief acquisition officers in new and collaborative ways. And so you see this growth by circumstance. In the early part of the 2000s, we were growing into developing a stronger muscle and more discipline around internal controls, and it was necessary. But that muscle's been developed. And now, as times change and there's new emerging risks in the financial management sphere, our new emerging risks surrounds this tension of budgetary pressures combined with the need to be better at government, to be innovative, and to improve every aspect of our performance from program to operations. And that's where the CFOs are playing a very significant role today in managing their agency budgets and working across different aspects of their agency leadership in order to coordinate and figure out how are we going to continue to improve on meeting our agency's mission and serving the taxpayer while confronting what we all know to be unprecedented budgetary challenges.
There's several initiatives you guys have rolled out over the last 4.5 years, you know, whether it's improper payments or freezing the footprint or now shared services. Does this all change the role of the CFO, specifically the prism which they look through?
It does. I mean, if you want to use, for example, the CFO Council and what its, you know, monthly agenda looks like as a window into these activities. When we bring the CFO Council together, we are talking about things like how to leverage technology to better manage oversight of federal dollars in the field so that we can root out improper payments. That is a major focus, is using technology and data analytics to figure out how to better understand our risks of error and waste and fraud with respect to federal dollars. And that's a major emphasis point. And it wasn't back in 2003. The emphasis point, or 2004, the emphasis points were different. The same thing with real estate. We have identified, and it was identified in the previous administration as well, but now it's continuously identified as helping resolve the tension I talked about earlier. I talked about this tension of we don't have as many resources, discretionary resources, yet we need to innovate and we need to perform better. Well, you start looking for opportunities to downsize, to realign, and real estate is one of them. And real estate not only is one of them because it's an area of longstanding inefficiency in the government, but also because technology has changed the way real estate is used. Office space has changed, and warehousing. You know, we can do things electronically that we used to have to do with bricks and mortar. We can do things in a cloud, which changes your real estate footprint. Our whole data center consolidation is really about real estate. And so, yes, the CFOs are at the table solving these various challenges, and it's an expanded role for them.